How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? You're ready to receive a word from God today. You've already received a number of words from Him, but are you ready to receive today what God would have to say to us? As I scroll through my notes to get to the right spot where we're going to pick up this morning. Thank God for technology, huh? We talked the last couple of times that I spoke, George had a two-week interval in between there where he shared with us two messages. But I began a number of weeks ago, and we began talking about being discontented in our life and how discontentment can affect our life. And discontentment, being discontented, is one of those things that every one of us at one point or another face as we walk this pathway of life. Then the second part of this message was we talked about dealing with bitterness. And how hurts and disappointments, even from our past, from things that have transpired in our past, things that have taken place in our past, could create bitterness in us, and how sometimes we can even walk in bitterness today because of those things which were in our past, and we saw what God had to say to us about that. Today, the third part of this is I want to talk to you about worrying about your future. Being discontented, being bitter, and worrying. These three things can become such distractions in our life every single day that literally our eyes and our focus can be distracted so quickly upon that which we should be looking at, that which we should be focusing on, to all of the things that we should not be focusing on and should not be looking on. And when we do that, we many times miss the blessing of what God has for us because we're too consumed in worrying and frustration and bitterness and discontentment about what's going to happen or what hasn't happened that we're not ready to receive what God has for us. But you need to know, it's going to be okay. Some people worry about where am I going to work, what am I going to do, who am I going to marry, where's the money going to come from, how am I going to pay the bills, how am I going to get this car fixed. All of the daily struggles of the things that we go through, the frustrations of relationship. We ask hundreds and thousands, George at best, these questions on a weekly basis about the future. What's my retirement going to be like? Am I going to have enough? Am I going to be able to save enough? Am I going to be able to do enough? I've watched God do the divine and the miraculous and the supernatural in people's lives that it just makes you stand back and scratch your head. I watched in my own family. I watched what God did in my parents' life. That He grew their retirement after retirement to levels that would have boggled the human mind. But there is no other God like our God. God is faithful. God is good. God is righteous. God is merciful. God is just. And when God declares a thing in His Word, God will bring it to pass. We're not always faithful. We are not always reliable. We cannot always be counted on. But God is always faithful. God is always reliable. We can always count on God. It doesn't mean you're always going to understand God. It doesn't mean you're always going to understand God's ways. It doesn't always mean that we're going to understand whatever the situation or circumstance that we're in. We're going to understand it. Because our minds at times struggle and our minds war with the things of God. We are convinced at times if something's hard, it can't be God. That's such foolishness. Sometimes God will take you headlong right in the middle of a storm. Because all He's doing in the middle of that thing is proving to you how big He is. And He's stirring your faith and your confidence. You don't believe that? He said to His disciples, "Let's get in a boat and go on the other side." And they said, okay. And a storm hit. They thought they were going to die. But his words were, we're going to the other side. So if he says we're going to the other side, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? Do you know what that means to you and me? It doesn't matter what happens between here and there. Because everything that happens between here and there is nothing more than a distraction. And all it's meant to do is to get your eyes off of the reality of the promise. If God says it, his word says it is yes and amen. In Matthew 6, Jesus says one of the traits of an unbeliever is worrying about things we don't need to worry about. He says that's a trait of an unbeliever. An unbeliever worries about where all these things are going to come from when the Bible says, your Bible says, your heavenly Father already knows. Look at somebody and say, he knows. Because sometimes we either forget he knows or we just simply act like he doesn't know. But the Bible says your heavenly Father knows. Obviously, I'm an earthly father. There are times there are things I don't know. Missy, there are times I don't know something. There are times I struggle to figure something out. There are times literally that, have you ever just wanted to pull your hair out? Because you didn't know what to do. You didn't know what to say. It seemed like everything you said made things worse. Everything you tried to do made things worse. Am I just talking to myself this morning? But the Bible says, when did we get away from what the Bible says? When did donuts and coffee and flashing lights and when did all those things become more important than the Bible? Because the Bible says that your heavenly Father already knows what you have need of. That's good news. That's good news. He already knows. Tap somebody and say, he already knows. He already knows. Why do you say, Pastor, why do you always have that? Why tap somebody? It's to wake them up. You know, every time I see somebody nod off, I say, tap them and tell them something. Oh, yes, amen. Jesus said, worrying about things we should not worry about, that's what unbelievers do. Believers, how many believers, not Biebers, believers do we have here today? Got some believers? I've got some revelation for you this morning. You ready for this? This is powerful. Believers believe. They didn't get that. Let me come over here. Believers believe, right? That's what a believer is. A believer is someone that believes. We have no right not believing. We literally have no right not believing what he says. Because he is faithful. He is good. He is righteous. He is merciful. He is kind. He is a good, good father, we sing. And then we go home on Monday morning and go, why aren't you doing what I need you to do? I sang real loud. I got hoarse singing for you. You're a good, good father, and you haven't done what I need you to do. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, you may not literally have said that to God, although I think some people have. But sometimes we act like that in our unbelief, in our unwillingness to trust God at his word. I'm not an unbeliever. I am a believer. And as a believer, we need to know. How many of you know some things for certain in life? You know for certain. It's unmovable. It's unshakable. It's solid. That thing you know is true. It's not for negotiation. We've got to know without a shadow of a doubt what God says is truth, that His Word is everlasting. And we can stand on the principles and the concepts of God's Word. And if He said we can do it, then we can do it. Now I sound like Bob the Builder. Do you know, worrying about something we shouldn't worry about is essentially saying, God, you are unfaithful. God, you are not sufficient. God, you are not trustworthy. God, I cannot count on you. That's what worrying about things God says don't worry about really means. It's misplaced trust. It's misplacing our trust. And if you've done that, you're not alone. You're full of a whole group of people this morning that have done the same thing. I've done it before in my life. I've moaned about things. I've complained about things before in my life, simply not understanding or knowing the truth of what God's Word really says. And man, what a powerhouse of people it would be that would stand on what God's Word says and believe it and walk in it and trust it and speak it and live it out every single day in our lives. Then we can speak to those mountains in our life, and the Bible says they shall be removed. As believers, we trust Him. Psalm 18, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 18, verse 1 through 3. The psalmist said, I love you. I love you, Lord. And then look how he follows that up. He expresses his love. He declares who He is, Lord, and then He says, my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. Why is He using those types of wordage? Why is He saying things to us like strength and rock? He's indicating to us that God is solid. That upon God we can stand. Upon God we can trust. God is my rock, my fortress, my strong tower, my high place, that place that I can go in and I can find safety and I can be secure because it's above the attack. And my deliverer, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. When doubt begins to creep in, you need to say, you are my strength, you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my deliverer. And sometimes you may need to repeat it to yourself quite a few times. You are my strong tower. You are a refuge. You are an ever-present help. You are God. You are the rock. And begin to profess that out of our mouths and believing what we're saying. Because a lot of times, and especially in our society today, a lot of people say a lot of things they don't mean. A lot of things they don't even believe. We say things today in this world just to get out of a situation or a circumstance with no intention of ever following through with what we say, but we just say it to get out. God's not like that. God does not say double and then go, whew, got them. No. God brings it to pass because He who has begun, right here it began, right here in the front of this altar area this morning for our business owners, something began. You're already business owners, but something began. And He who is faithful will complete that which is begun. I'm just simple enough to not doubt that. I'm just simple enough to believe that. My rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord. Who is worthy? What is He? Worthy. What is the Lord? Worthy. I called to the Lord who is worthy, and I have been saved from all of my enemies. How many are thankful for Psalm 18, verse 1 through 3? Oh, I'm so thankful. that I can turn in the midst of hard place, in the midst of difficult place. See, our eyes have to be open because we war and we fight and we bicker and we complain and our emotions and our feelings get the best of us. Let me just ask you, how many of you ever thought you were in love before you really got in love? How many were with somebody at some point in your life and you thought you were in love? Okay, let me just say this. You were between 14 and 16 at one point in your life. And you went to school one day, and there he was, or there she was. And that was it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you just you're not even breathing this morning? You have no idea why you're here. How many been there? How many don't want to even admit it? We've all thought we were in love and found out we weren't. We were driven by our emotions, by our feelings. Wow. Some of you act like you never even had those feelings. Why do y'all just look at me like that sometimes? Yes. Is it just because I've had those feelings? Look, my wife left. She ain't going to sit there when I'm talking about this. She went downstairs to work with the kids. We've all had those feelings. Karen, I've had some feelings that if I'd acted on them, oh, good Lord. If I acted on every feeling or every emotion I ever had, I probably would have punched a couple of people in my life. Now, don't sit there and act like you're so righteous and holy, like you never wanted to lay one on somebody. You know, there's some point in life I just better get out of here before I do something I shouldn't do, right? Have you ever had some of you? You won't raise your hand, but you're giving me the old. Well, I'm with you, Pastor. Some of you wanted to let somebody have it this morning, maybe yesterday. Maybe your opportunity will come this afternoon, but we resist those things. We're believers. We believe in what the Word of God says. He is worthy of praise. We've been saved from our enemies. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to zero in here for a couple of minutes. We're not going to be much, much longer this morning, but we're going to settle in here for just a couple of minutes. I want to share this with you. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. God delivers us. Say, God delivers us. Sometimes you don't have to have it all figured out because he's a deliverer. Now the king of Aram, verse number 8, chapter 6, 2 Kings. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, the king of Aram, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. So he's devising his plan of battle, his plan of war against Israel, the king of Aram. And he says, as he confers with his officers, this is how we're going to do it. You're going to go here. You're going to go there. We're going to set a flank here. We're going to set up a guard here. This is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to attack. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel. Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are down there. So God speaks to the prophet, and the prophet tells Israel, don't go there because the Arameans are going to go there. Who knew that? Israel didn't know it. The Arameans knew it. The enemy knew it. They were going to attack. They were going to go to war. The Israelites, they didn't know the plans they had, but God knew. God was listening in the war room. God was in the war room of the enemy. Some of you didn't hear that. God was in the war room of the enemy. And if God was in the war room of that enemy, God is in the war room of your enemy. In other words, God's already read his mail. God already knows what he has planned. God already knows what the enemy is going to try and do. So God either will deliver you out of it, he'll lead you right in the middle of it, but be not mistaken that whether you're taken out of it or you go through it, God will deliver you. There is no doubt about it, because he is faithful. And he speaks to the prophet, and he tells the prophet to go tell the king of Israel, beware, don't go that way, because they're going to be down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. He went and he had sent some spies out, and they looked at it, and they saw that it was true. Time and again, not just one time, time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. So in other words, wherever the enemy was going to set up an attack against the Israelites, God would warn the prophet to tell the king of Israel. The king of Israel would then say, we're not going there because that's where the enemy is. How many of you like to walk every single day knowing exactly where every trap was? Well, he leads us and he guides us. He leads us and he guides us. Amen? There are sometimes he warns us away from the trap. Sometimes he'll let us go headlong into it. Because one way or another, his purpose is going to be fulfilled. Sometimes taking us into the thing is more important than taking us out of the thing. Because if he doesn't take us into the thing, the greater purpose in the thing may not be fulfilled. But he's got to take us into the thing. If you have any doubt on that, turn to the three Hebrew boys and look. They went into the fiery furnace. Had they not gone into the fiery furnace, all that came would not have come. They had to go into the fire. Sometimes you will go into the fire. Sometimes he'll lead you away from the fire. This enraged the king of Aram. This made him so angry. Every time he had a foolproof plan, this is going to work, it was foiled. He summons his officers. And he demanded of them, tell me, which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel? In other words, he said, which one of you is a spy? Which one of you is going and telling him everything we talk about? Which one's doing it? He was ready to kill one of his own people. They replied, none of us, Lord King. None of us, said one of his officers. It's the prophet Elijah. Or Elisha. It's the prophet Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. And so now the king of the Arameans says, go and find out where he is, the king orders, so I can send men to capture him. Report back to me. They said he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and strong forces there. So now the enemy is sending strong forces after a singular man, the prophet of God, who's simply speaking the things that God tells him to do. You think sometimes saying what God tells you to say won't get you in trouble? They went by night. Why did they go by night? Because the avenue of surprise. They weren't going to go by day because they'd be seen coming. They went by night. Some would even say it was a cowardice thing because they went when no one else could see them coming. Surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord! What shall we do? The servant cried out. So the servant of the man of God, of the prophet, gets up. He looks and the entire encampment of the city is surrounded by horses and chariots, and they're after the prophet. One man against the whole army of horses and chariots and warriors. And his trusted companion was with him, said, "My Lord, what are we going to..." How many of you have ever said, "My God, what am I going to do? My Lord, what should I do?" Well, the prophet speaks up and says, "Don't be afraid." He says to him, "Don't worry. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." The prophet says, "Don't worry about it. There's more with us than there is with them." And the young servant boy, thinking, "I may not be the smartest guy here in the room, but one and one equals two. You and me are two. And they're all around the city. How in the world are you and me greater than all of those who are around and about us? And you're telling me, don't be afraid, because there's more of us than them. It's two and all of them." And Elisha prayed. And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills above the encampment were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Remember the prophet said, those who are with us are more than those who are against us? The heavenly hosts of angels were all around and about the prophet of God to protect him and keep him safe. Yes, he was encamped. Yes, danger was all around him. But God had his back. The prophet said, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see." Elisha prayed to the Lord, and he said, "Smite this army with blindness." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." So they were coming looking for him, and he says, "Hey," they couldn't see. He says, "It's not me, but follow me, and I'll take you." So he leads them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men," because now they are surrounded by the natural. They were surrounded prior to this by the supernatural. They're surrounded now by the natural, surrounded by the supernatural. They're now surrounded by the natural, surrounded by the supernatural. They're now surrounded by the natural, surrounded by the supernatural. See, you may be in the natural, but you're surrounded by... Oh. Open their eyes, Lord. Open their eyes. Surrounded by the supernatural. He says, "Lord, open their eyes." And there they were inside Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" And the prophet said, "Do not kill them. Do not kill them. Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow?" He said, "Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they all returned to their master. So the bonds of the Arameans stopped raiding Israel's territory. He said, "No, we don't have to kill them, because here's what we're going to do. God's going to open their eyes and they're going to get to see. They're going to know and understand the power of our God who struck them blind and then brought them right here where we could have slew every one of them, but we didn't, because we are believers in the Most High God. And we're going to send them back, and then they're going to go back and they're going to tell their king what we did. And they're going to tell their king about the power of our God to strike them with blindness and then restore their sight back to them. What's the gist of this for you today? Well, it's quite simple. You may not know at times the battle that you're facing. There are times you may not know the encampment that's around and about you, but there are forces that look to attack. There are evil forces in this world. God will protect you and move you from them, or God will take you headlong toward them. But you need to know, and you need to have the confidence, that regardless, if your God before you, then who can be against you? Because those who are for you are far greater than those who are against you. And every day when you walk, you need to know that the angels of the Lord are encamped around and about you, because he said they were. He said they'd be encamped around and about you. So if you go into the storm, you're going to be all right. You're in the middle of the storm, you're going to be all right. You bypass the storm, it's going to be all right. Either way, it's going to be all right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, worship team, come on back to the platform. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. And the Bible says he, the Lord, shall make your paths, straight. Trust in the Lord. He's got this. Whatever that situation is you're dealing with, whatever that thing is you're struggling with, whatever that thing is you're doubting through, you can trust him. You can trust him. He's faithful. He's faithful. I want to pray with you this morning, and I want to pray that God will open your eyes. I believe he brought you here today, and he's knocking on the door. I believe he's wanting to reveal things and show you things, even here this morning, through what's already happened, through the teaching of his word, maybe through worship. But I believe with all my heart, God is opening things to you this morning. Some of you may have learned some things that you didn't know before. Maybe you never trusted God like I'm telling you to trust God. Maybe you didn't even know you could trust God like I'm telling you can trust God. But I'm telling you today you can. Because he's faithful. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over in my life, I have seen the faithfulness of God. I'm about to make a bold statement that I have made many other times. But I'm going to make it again. I do not doubt the faithfulness of God. And I will not doubt the faithfulness of God. Will not. A very well-known internet pastor this past month just really unloaded on another one for saying he didn't doubt God. And he said that's not a good thing to tell people, because everybody doubts God. Well, that's the problem. I'll say it jokingly. I almost said, what a moron. Oh, I said it. The point is, Lori, we're not supposed to doubt God. That's what unbelievers do. We don't doubt God. It's not our right to doubt God. We trust God. We believe God. Yes, there will be thoughts of doubt, but we cast down those thoughts. We cast down those imaginations because they are contrary to the word of God. Yes, you may have a thought of wanting to doubt, but it doesn't mean you do it. If you need money, you don't go rob a bank. Why? You control yourself. Well, I hope you do. And don't go robbing any of these businesses either and thinking they'll understand. You go to jail. Listen, we trust God because he's faithful. I have witnessed in my life over and over and over, God, over and over and over again, God's power. I shouldn't be here today. I shouldn't be alive today in front of you. I know in of myself, if it would not be for God, I wouldn't be here. I've watched God move in my own family. Three members of my own family should have died and not been delivered, but God. I look out and I see some of you. But if it were not for God, you would not be here today. I stood beside the beds and I've heard the doctors say, there's no hope. They're not going to live. They're not going to survive. This is the end. You need to make preparations. You need to prepare. There's no hope. Yeah, don't make any reservations. Maybe the point is we should have made a reservation because we were getting out of there. But the truth of the matter is, when God says, yeah, I'm going to let you go through that storm, well, there's a greater purpose in it. Mike Platt, in the middle of a medically induced coma, had a vision from God. We sat over lunch for hours, didn't we, Nancy? For lunch, we sat for lunch. Mike was telling me so much he didn't even eat his lunch. I was so captivated. I was so captivated by what he was saying, I'm just shoving food in my mouth listening to him. I was the only one that ate my lunch that day. I'm just shoving it in my mouth. Mike told me a vision that he had in that dream. Just a couple weeks ago, going through the back hallway, I said to Mike something that I said to him in that vision that he saw, that dream that he saw. When I said it, he looked like, you remember that? Mike walked through that door, and all the miracles, all the healings, all the blessings that we've seen in the last number of weeks, and some of them have been astronomical. I tapped Mike on the arm, and I said, this all started with you. And at that lunch, Allison, he said to me, when I was in a medically induced coma, you and I were standing in a building. He described the building to me. But he said, you said the exact same words that you said to me in that hallway. You said this all started with you. In the medically induced coma, he heard those same words. He was in a medically induced coma, and Jesus was in the room. Nancy was curled up on the chair, wrapped up in a blanket, and Mike's raising his... He's in a medically induced coma. For those of you in the medical profession, he's in a medically induced coma, raising his hands. You don't raise your hands when you're in a medically induced coma. He's raising his hands because Jesus is in the room. He's trying to motion to Nancy. She's, do you want a drink of water? Are you cold? Do you want to bike? No, he's right here. He's right here in the room. Jesus is right here. He could see him. And the Lord spoke things to him, revealed things to him. And we're going to talk to you all about those things. One day, Mike and I are going to be on this platform. We're going to talk to you about the things that God showed him, things that God spoke to him. Listen, when it looks bad in the natural, sometimes you have no idea what's going on in the supernatural. Oh, it looked bad in the natural. Doctor said there ain't no hope. Said that man will never live. Well, he sure looks alive to me this morning. Stand up for a minute, Mike. Stand up for a minute. Everybody turn back here and look. That's a dead man. That's a dead man. That's a dead man. That's a dead man that came back to life. Right there. A dead man. That came back to life. And they said you had 0% chance of surviving, right? Several doctors. And they had to keep coming back in the room because they couldn't believe that he was alive. There is no one like our God. So when it looks bad in the natural, just remember, those that are for you are far greater than those that are against you. Come on, stand with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you and we bless you today. We thank you so much today, Father, that you are faithful to complete that which you have begun. And Lord, today as we stand in this place as children of the Most High God, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, if you said it in your word, we believe it, and that settles it. Not going to argue against what you've said, not going to doubt what you've said, because you are trustworthy. There is no one like you. Out of your mouth, you decree a thing, and it comes to pass. We sang earlier today, you put stars in the sky and tell them where to stay. You tell the sun how bright to shine. And it can't shine any brighter or any less because of your word. And at your word, it obeys. The stars, they come and they go and they move as you direct. The waters of the sea, they go no further than what you allow them. There is no God like you. You have brought each of us here to this place today for reason and for a purpose. And I pray, God, that we will have heard the knock, that we will have opened the door, and we would have listened and heard what you will have said to us today, that the blinders will be broken off of our eyes, doubt will flee from us, and we will leave this place today knowing that we are the children of the Most High God. And that if our God before us, who dare can be against us, because those who are for us are far greater than those who are against us. Oh God, I thank you for that today. Strengthen each heart and each mind today. Open the eyes of our hearts today, that we may have a glimpse, and that we may see your power and your authority working all around us, Lord. You've got us. You've got these situations. You've got these circumstances. You're healing. You're delivering. You're breaking bondages. You're setting people free. You're multiplying. You're doubling. You are a good, good Father. And we give you praise. I pray your blessing flow upon the hearts and lives of every person in this place, everyone that will listen over the internet. God, release your spirit to quicken our spirit. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Quicken our mortal bodies, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name.